Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow, wee. He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Hello and welcome to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. I'm joined today by the man who's had more bylines in our paper than editorials have been in there, John Ralph. John, how are you?
It's all about quantity, not quality. I always say that, Macca, and it's never been truer than the last few weeks as well, especially with the trade period long on detail and specifics and argy-bargy and very big on substance, that must be said. But yeah, we roll around to the next, the draft season and the fixture season. And as usual with the AFL, they give the other codes about, let's call it 2 weeks over the tennis and a week over the spring carnival. And that's about all I give them.
They're ruthless, aren't they, in that sense? And you said about the trade period, you said the word shh. I thought you were going to say a swear word then that Peter Moody said the other week on air, but it was a pretty low-key, it wasn't a most exciting trade period over the journey, was it?
It was the most shizen trade period, well, at least for this century. You know, I was trying to look back at AFL lists of players who moved, 15 and 20 years ago, and they weren't there. But look, what do we have, 20 in the end? And let's face it, Jordan Dawson, who was a nice footballer, but played 7 outstanding games on a wing, and Adam Chera, who's, had 2 very solid years, but, still not good enough for a top 2 best and fairest result in either of those 2 years at Fremantle. And we spent a lot of column inches on them as well. But, I think the fans love it. I'm a massive fan of exploring what a mid-season trade period would be. I think the real issue clearly is that the salary cap issues. And I think the best thing of a mid-season trade period is that it's equalisation stuff. And so, if you're a wooden spoon side who have got a pretty reasonable player, the top 4 candidate is keen to bring that player in because, say, let's call it they lose a ruckman. It's always the Todd Goldstein situation, isn't it? And I suppose the only impediment for me, Macca, is, how would that top team be able to absorb the salary of Todd Goldstein, which might be $500,000 a year, when their cap's already full? And so, I think it's worth the AFL, let's call it a working party, let's call it, consulting with the big players out there. I think it would be, it'd add another layer of discussion. I'm just not sure how you get around, some of the wrinkles that there would be right now.
AFL, we always get around the wrinkles to make things happen. There is that interest, though, isn't it? The amazing interest from people. And even though it was a shizen trade period, the numbers were still really high of people listening. And that the one story you've been over for a number of days now, and you broke the story about the Richmond AFLW player testing positive for coronavirus on Saturday, I think it was. Like, how big an issue is this going to be going forward, do you reckon, Ralphie? It's going to be fascinating watch, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt about that. And look, I think it's fantastic that the Victorian government has effectively mandated the AFL players must have a vaccine. Now, the AFL's probably going to soft it. They're probably going to, just say that we recommend all players across all of Australia have a vaccine because, of course, the mandate right now is really only for Victorian workers. But, look, I think what is going to happen and what has happened in the NFL now is you're going to get maybe a handful of people who actually are going to pull out of the industry. Now, the Arizona State NFL a coach, he's been stood down, sacked with calls today because he refused to get the vaccine. And we saw Cliff Kingsbury, the Arizona Cardinals coach. Well, he wasn't able to coach on the weekend. But what we saw with him and what we'll see in the AFL is, look, a couple of negative COVID tests, you're fully vaccinated, you've got no symptoms, and you're very quickly back into the program. And so, what will happen with Richmond, I think, as we increasingly don't have to quarantine for much more than 3 or 4 days, is that, you ensure that all your players are effectively, kept separate in smaller groups. You might test positive. You go and, test, and get your test. You quarantine for 24 hours, and then the show's going to go on. I think the show's just going to have to go on across all walks of life, Macca. Is that how you see it?
Exactly. That's exactly the way I see it. And we've got to a stage where, it's been a really difficult 18 months or so that we've been able to push through and keep the game going. But now we do have to open up. We were promised that things would open up once we get the vaccinations. And I think we're going to end up not just in the AFL, but in Victoria with one of the most amazing vaccination records. So that's really exciting going forward. This rapid antigen testing that the Richmond players have been doing and AFLW players have been doing in the car before going in. This is the same rapid antigen testing that Eddie Maguire was pushing in about August to save the grand final, Ralphie. Tell us about it. It is an interesting scenario, and it's clearly going to be the way forward going, you know, with this rapid antigen testing.
Yeah, and you wrote the story before Footy Classified, and so many people howled down Eddie the next day.
They did.
And said, oh, we're nowhere near, you know, that stuff. What are we, you know, 6 weeks on from a grand final? We could have, let's face it, we had too many COVID numbers in Victoria to have it. But, yeah, so effectively, you know, say you're at Carlton or at Collingwood, you roll up to the car park, you get to the front entrance, you swab your own nasal cavity there. You got to get up right up in your crawl.
Not as
there.
High as the testers at the start of the pandemic, I think, Ralphie.
No, and then basically, you know, you give the test to the COVID compliance officer and you get back in your car and 15 minutes later they say everything's tickety-boo. Or in the case of this unidentified AFLW player from Richmond, sorry, you've had a positive reaction or a positive test, and then you go and get the second test, the more extensive test, which, look, I wouldn't tell you what the technology is, but anyway, it seemed to be more accurate and that's what happened. So thankfully for Richmond, none of the other players had trained with her that day. They had trained with her on Thursday, which is why they needed a quarantine. The blokes are training, let's call it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Yeah. The girls are training Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And so they're trying to keep the programs, you know, apart. So clearly, you know, the first COVID test since positive COVID test for a player since Connor McKenna last June. But, yeah, look, I think what it's going to mean is that players are going to be able to train. Fans are absolutely going to be able to have double vaccinations or these negative tests. And I've got every confidence that we might be able to have 80,000 by round one next year, Macca, you know, at the MCG for a couple of massive blockbuster games.
That's incredible when you think about it, that's something we're looking. It's not that far away either. We've been through so much. What did you make of Tom McDonald's comments in regard to the vaccines? He's, you know, he's vaccinated, so but he just doesn't believe that it should be a mandatory situation. It's fascinating. I've already offered to take Kyrie Irving's vaccination. I'm doubly vaccinated. $35 million, isn't it? I think he's due this year. I reckon that'd get us a few horses at the yearling sales next year if we could take his vaccination, Ralphie.
Yeah.
We're not advocating that. That was a joke.
There's a lot of right-wing causes or left-wing causes or a lot of, you know, causes in regards to protecting your body that I think you can die in a ditch over. You know, I just don't think that the COVID vaccine, which has been shown to be so extraordinarily successful, is one of them. Now, Tom says that he doesn't think there should be a vaccine for workers and he'd be happy to play against players who are not protected. Tom, if you don't want to get vaccinated, if you don't want to be in a competition that has a vaccine mandate, just don't play, mate. You know, you were extremely privileged to be able to be playing football, with all of, there's a lot of double standards in football. How the hell were AFL footballers able to jump borders so easily as they were able to? How the hell were Melbourne able to fly up to Brisbane and mid-air halfway through the year, the AFL, pulls some strings and lo and behold, they're off to Perth and now they're back to Melbourne. And the next day they're playing football again at wherever it was, Marvel. Yeah, the AFL's players have been afforded so many privileges and luxuries. Agreed. And yes, he can whinge about your First Amendment rights and all these kind of things. But, Tom, the offer's there. You don't want to get vaccinated, just don't play, mate. And you just hand over your contract, as that Washington State, coach has done. But if you want to play, you'll play under the rules of the AFL and under the rules of the state government. And, they're private enterprises that the AFL that's able to dictate what fans and what players can do.
No, I agree. Because if you're going to have and mandate fans to actually be vaccinated to attend, how can you not then mandate, in a sense, that players out in the field, shouldn't be vaccinated as well? I didn't get where he was coming from with it. I understand the human rights side of things, but this is a pandemic, Ralphie. We're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's a bit like the people complaining about lockdown and protesting in their tens of thousands, and all they do is just exacerbate the lockdown. I'm sure Tom's he's highly intelligent. He's got I'm sure he could explain it really well. But I just think that when you lowball it, when you bottom line it, the only way the competition succeeds next year is through is through vaccination mandates and through people being vaccinated. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. And if we're at 80% of vaccination levels next year, we're in a massive between a rock and a hard place. If we can get to 90% vaccination above, well, as the AFL's own player union negotiates a new CBA, the money that he's earned from that CBA and from players going through the gates gets paid directly to people like Tom McDonald. So, look, I don't think he has too much to complain about, to be honest.
Now, Ralphie, you had me at 80,000. You had me there straight away. As soon as you said 80,000, I'm excited. We are looking like we're going to, I mean, even with the AFLW, that's 2.5 months away. We're a serious chance, I think we are, to have relatively good crowds for AFLW, let alone all the way down to round one, which is, you know, a number of months away for the men's competition. It's really exciting to, your fans have been denied this right in a lot of ways for the best part of 2 years.
I think the AFL is going to have to work really hard to get some fans back and to make it a regular fixture. You know, I think the blockbuster games, and I think we both believe that Melbourne Western Bulldogs on a Friday night of round one would be fantastic. A lot of people talk about Richmond Carlton and say, oh, look, why do they deserve it as their birthright? Well, why they deserve it is because it's been a pretty mediocre game for a long time, and yet it gets 80, 90, 95,000 fans there. And if you could have a blockbuster the next night, it's been Collingwood Bulldogs before. You know, clearly, we feel like the premiership rematch should be perfect. You know, you effectively guarantee yourself two massive crowds, pandemic willing, as we've seen the last couple of years, to kickstart the season. We've seen in the NFL, we've seen in college basketball, we've seen in college gridiron. Yeah, over there in America, even though their vaccination rates are, what are they, 60, 65% total, they've got massive crowds. You know, most of those people are fully vaccinated. I can't see any reason in why, you know, by March next year, the AFL will have already looked at, you know, the AFLW competition, the Spring Carnival to a lesser extent, absolutely the Australian Open and how they deal with those crowds. And I think by that stage, you know, if you want to go to those events, you get vaccinated, it's only going to push the vaccination levels even higher. And we're going to have a lot of cases. And I think we're just not going to worry about those cases because, like all your mates and mine over in the UK and America, your mates get COVID, their kids get COVID at parties, they bring it home. It's a really crappy flu. You know, you hate it. You do it for a week. You build your immune system and you move on. And I think, you know, by March next year, that's the situation we'll be in. And I can't see any reason why you want to limit crowds.
No, well said. And it just gets me excited, that Melbourne Western Bulldogs game. If they could get that, Gary Pert has spoken heavily with the AFL. They think it's going to happen. You know, to have someone like Ron Barassi there who didn't have the chance to be there for the premiership, and maybe Neil Danaher. And I think what they'll do there with the unfurling of the flag is that they'll use a number of different people rather than just one individual. They'll celebrate it, and I think it'll be fantastic. Ralphie, we can't wait to that. But we're just going to take a break because you had a fascinating Wreck-It Ralph in the Herald Sun this morning. Let's take a break, and we'll be back to talk about Wreck-It Ralph. Welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Ralphie, Wreck-It Ralph, it's been a great addition to the Herald Sun this year. Really enjoyed it. Alistair Clarkson's over in the States at the moment, learning, getting more education, preparing to return to footy. Nathan Buckley's going to sit, as we know, in the Fox Footy box as well. These guys are going to coach at some stage. Certainly Clarko is going to coach in 2023. You put them into the heat on a few of the coaches today. And just looked at the scenarios there, what's going to happen in terms of their tactical side of things next year. Who's the most, do you think, in peril, in a sense, from a coaching perspective next year?
Oh, I think Brett Ratton, you know, clearly has massive pressure on him to get back into the finals. We saw them win a final against the Western Bulldogs and then, you know, with a couple of injuries the year before last. And, you know, they were just so disappointing in so many ways this year. Well, Ken Hinckley's interesting because, you know, if it was that they flared out again, if it was that they missed finals or only, you know, didn't win finals, you know, I almost feel like it might be something where they say to each other, look, you know, we love what we're building. We can't get there. Is it time for him to move on? You know, same as Chris Scott, you know. Here's one. Would Chris Scott and would Ken Hinckley swap jobs? Oh, we've seen that, you know, so often.
You know, it's happening.
Both of those blokes deserve to be coaching AFL clubs. I just wonder whether at some stage they might say, okay, what more can we get out of our list? Is it time for us both to move clubs?
Yeah. Well, Rob Walls and David Parkin famously switched clubs, which, you know, Fitzroy and Carlton, and, you know, that has happened before. Interesting that the Cats then go and look at an extra 2 years on a Chris Scott contract, which is interesting. They're obviously throwing as much as they can, and Steve Hocking's a big rap of Chris Scott. How much pressure is on the Cats next year, do you think?
So the pressure is there for them to actually to show that they can actually just keep transitioning their list while still, you know, trying to have a crack at the flag. I think the worst case scenario is they just absolutely, yeah, everyone keeps talking about the cliff. Well, what Geelong would say is, you know what, we've got the best defender in the game in Tom Stewart. He's got Mark O'Connor. He's got Jack Henry alongside him. Now we've got, you know, clearly, you know, Tom Hawkins is getting older in that forward line, but we've brought in Tyson Stengel. We've got Jeremy Cameron with, what, another 4 years on his deal. Got young players there like Brad Close, like Ryan Myers, Kasava Radigalia. So we still believe that, yes, we've got some aging midfielders, but we've also got players like Brandon Parfitt and Quinton Narkle who stayed, and Charlie Constable, if it is that they extend him again. So, they really push back hard against that feeling that they've got just so many old blokes and, they're going to fall off a cliff. But I suppose what I looked at there is because so often these clubs are able to just build through the trade period or through free agency. Last year, Hinkley with Alia and Fantasia, Geelong with Cameron, Sean Higgins, Smith, St Kilda with Zach Jones, Brisbane with Danaher. And because, of the salary cap constraints, these guys are going to have to pull a rabbit out of their hat from a tactical standpoint. So that's why I'm so fascinated to see what people like Adam Simpson have got. Now, Adam Simpson's got a new long-term contract. He's not going to be sacked next year. But they had the most backwards kicks in the entire competition, the number two kick mark team. So that's the DNA of Adam Simpson. And I think to myself, what's your plan B? What have you got? I'm really fascinated by Collingwood. Craig McRae is just, he's 4 weeks into an AFL coaching tenure. But Macca, I'd love to ask you the question. Of all those, six national draft picks, two rookie picks last year, I thought Ollie Henry just did some nice things late. Finn McRae, a couple of those just across the body kicks, just look, the spitting image of his brother. But of course, almost the mirror image, the right foot into the left.
I get me excited.
But of the rest of them, Poulter, McGuinness, McMahon, McCreary, Ginnivan, did you see nice 80-game players who might, bounce out of the system? Or did you see a couple of 200-gamers in that mob?
I'm not sure I saw the 200-gamers. I saw a couple of 80 to 100-gamers maybe. I think the fact with all those guys, and I'm going to cut them some slack, Ralphie, as I'm going to probably cut, Jamara Ugle-Hagan some slack as well. Those boys didn't play the year before, so they lost a lot of footy. And I think the clubs have, been mindful of that. And I think the Bulldogs are going to do the same with Sam Darcy when he comes on. And I'm sure Collingwood as well with Nick Dacos as well. They haven't played a lot of footy in that under-18 level. And sometimes that can have a bit of an impact. I really liked Ollie Henry's last sort of five or six games. I think he showed enough there. I think Finn McRae is going to be a good player. It's not just the surname for me. There's just a couple of little things that he does. Of the other guys, we haven't seen Reef McGuinness yet. I think he'll be okay. He had a few issues through the year. And, McCreary tries hard. He's probably in that 80 to 100 game bracket if he can get that. But they really need to find one or two 200 gamers in this bracket, I think. What Craig McRae would be really excited about is seeing Jordan Dugowie. And Jordan Dugowie putting his hand up and saying, I've never been fitter. Now, he's got to back that up. But we know there's been issues with him in terms of turning up, not quite prepared at the level he should be. So I think that's a really good sign. I don't think they're going to be the Pies next year. I think they're going to be sort of, towards the tail end as well. But hopefully it's just a really good development year. Carlton's the one for me, Ralphie, is the really fascinating one. The president, Luke Sayers, has already said, we're going to play finals next year. They should, with the list that they've actually got, play finals. I'm fascinated to see how Vossie can, while Craig McRae's got to actually get a little bit of attack into the Collingwood lineup, Vossie's got to go the other way and get a little bit more defensive mindset into that Carlton bracket. There's been a lot of guys there training, Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays at Carlton. They don't need to be there. One of them, I reckon, Ralphie, this is fascinating, is Zach Williams has been fronting up to those sessions. We know that he didn't turn up to Carlton pretty much. He was allowed to till after almost Christmas last year. So he's a player that really needs to lift and to try and, whether he can bed down that midfield spot, I don't know. But I'm fascinated by the Blues and to see whether you think they can make the finals.
Yeah, if they don't, it's a massive disappointment. I know some people say, you could go 11-11, but, they've added, key personnel over the last 3 years. We know their draft history. We know they've got some really frustrating players there. Give us some wins, Macca. I know it's November 19. How many games does Collingwood win next year?
I think Collingwood will win seven next year.
Seven.
Does that sound optimistic? That sounds a little optimistic, do you think?
No, I think they can win seven.
Win seven.
I look at, Maynard Moore, Howes, those defensive pillars, and I just get excited by that.
And Justin Lepich comes in and works with them as well, doesn't he? Justin Lepich comes in and works with those guys. And
spot on. How many games does North Melbourne win?
Good question there. Fascinating for me. North about, I would say, five or six.
Yep. So what about Hawthorn?
I don't know. This is a club that I don't know what they're going to do. I think Sam Mitchell will end up being an outstanding coach, but I think he would have, in his own mindset, would have loved to have taken Hawthorn on a year down the track. Not to say that he didn't want to coach this year. He did. next year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think from a development point of view, he would have loved to have seen. There, I'm not sure what they're going to do. Have you got a figure on that, you think, with Hawthorn?
I asked you the question, how many games are they going to win, Macca?
Seven.
Yeah, I think they can win 10. I look at that list and I think with Sicily, you know, I'm obviously it's dependent upon...
Well, Sicily comes back, doesn't he?
Dunstan coming back. But I mean, and that's the thing, though, isn't it? You know, they look good on paper at times, and yet, you know, look at their midfield, the Brownlow medalist in Mitchell, Warple, Jagger O'Meara, Chad Wingard, and yet they're 15th for clearance differential and 14th for contested possession differential. And so, you know, I think that's the thing for Mitchell. I just keep hearing, you know, whether it's the coach or the... footy boss or the list manager talking about Sam Mitchell's new game plan. You know, they just keep dropping it in there. And look, I think it's just going to be fascinating to see what that is, whether there's an appreciable change. Yeah. We all love the fact that Clarko at times orchestrated big wins. But, you know, they were pretty ordinary at times as well, weren't they? I mean, they haven't won a final since the three-peat. Yeah. Yes, you'd probably take the three-peat, wouldn't you? But, you know, so I just think that's another fascinating storyline as well. And the last one for me, West Coast, you know, who again, and that club approaching the cliff. How many games do West Coast win?
They're going to win enough at home, so they're probably going to win 10, but I see them on the slide, Ralphie. I can't have them. That's why I reckon Adam Simpson's a fascinating test case in the sense as I know he's got a long-term contract, but if it works out in a situation that, you know, potentially he does come back to coach in Victoria, I wouldn't put that out of the picture in the coming years because I think they're on the slide big time.
Yeah, and the point I made in the article today is that they had a chance for one of the hyphens, Sam Petrescu-Seaton or Sam Culpepper. Sam Petrescu-Seaton dances left and right, you know, great Indigenous talent. You know, is he a really tough and rugged player, which is what they need? No, but they get him over Sam Culpepper, who's sloppy and, you know, messy and sprays it a bit, but he just cracks in so hard.
Yeah.
And so I was really interested in that. I know that they'll say talent, you know, one player was more talented than the other, but... Yeah, so if it's not Sam Culpepper cracking in, who is it in that West Coast team, given that so few blokes, you know, were prepared to get their hands dirty last year? So anyway, it's early on. It's only November, but, you know, just rather than putting pressure on those guys, just saying, okay, you got a big summer ahead of you across 18 football clubs.
How can you fix it? The last one on that, Stewie Jew, where are we at? Like, I know they're out of mind, out of sight. Mick Warner loves talking about them just so he can stomp on them again one more time. Mickey loves it. Where do you see Gold Coast going forward? And does Stuart Jew coach them in 2023?
Probably not, you know, but because the history of that football club, what are we, 11 years in now? The history of that football club says they're non-winners and they don't play finals and they don't maximise their opportunities. And yet, you know, I talked about Rowell and Rankin there. If those two players could fight, you know, then it maximises their chances. Like, obviously, Rowell's come off. What a serious knee and a shoulder dislocation. And he just wasn't himself in that second half of the year. But that's sort of what happens up there at Gold Coast, you know, where talent goes to die. You know, Rory Atkins is a really exciting Adelaide player. He gets 5 years there and he just puts in a putrid season of football. And so, you know, I think Stewie Jew will hope to get much more consistency from a side that was discombobulated. I think they said four times, you know, it was in the afternoon and they were preparing to play a home game and 3 hours later they're on a plane getting to Melbourne, you know, as a young team that just, you know, didn't quite see out the season as a result of that. I'm much more optimistic about potentially them re-signing the likes of Lukosius and Rankin and Ben King. You know, and I think if it goes pear-shaped, I think we all feel that Alistair Clarkson would be excited to coach that team, you know, to coach them into a historic final series. So let's say that they, you know, win 10 games or 8 games and they sack their coach. Well, all of a sudden those three blokes are thinking, hang on, I've got Alistair Clarkson coming to coach me. Mm. They love it up there. They're trying to build something special. You know, they know it's going to take a bit of time. You know, I just think there's a real chance that, you know, that a couple of those players and maybe all three of them will have signed up by midway through next year.
Yeah, that'd be a huge fillip for him. And just finally on that, Richmond, how many wins, Ralphie? Are you excited? Are you in there? There's two camps. They're gone. They're not gone. They're coming again. Which one are you
in? I look at Geelong, and I think Geelong's the template. You know, that as long as you make smart decisions and you keep bringing in talent, whether it's at the draft or the free agency pool, you know, you can stay up. Whereas probably before free agency, you couldn't do that. So it's hard to say that they haven't brought in lots of young talent because, like, I really like, clearly, Shea Bolton and Noah Bolter. But I still think the likes of Riley Collier-Dawkins and Ben Martin. And, look, you know, we kept talking about Ryan Garthwaite. He just got delisted. You know, you really liked, you know, Egg Molesi-Smith. He just got delisted. You know, Thompson Dow looks nice, but, I haven't seen that breakout game. I just think there's a lot of those kids there that they keep talking about being desperate to get into the team, the likes of Callum Coleman-Jones. He just got delisted. So, again, they'll take five picks within 30. But I'd love to see a little bit more from those kids who got heaps of chances last year when the midfield was injured. And not that they failed to step up, but, there's just a few question marks about some of those kids who maybe aren't as good as we thought they were going to be.
Yeah. Now, Ralphie, my crystal ball is horrendous. It's good with racing. My crystal ball with racing is going all right at the moment, but my footy crystal ball wouldn't be getting a lot of business. We're going to come back after the break, and I'm going to ask you about your crystal ball, Ralphie. Welcome back to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Last segment of the year, Ralphie. Crystal ball. It is the time that I always dread because I get them wrong all the time. I left Melbourne out of the eight. I wasn't the only one. Who's going to win the flag in 2022 from your perspective, and who do they play in the grand final?
Melbourne will win the flag. They might well win the 2023 flag as well, or 24. You know, I reckon they've probably got three out of the next four. Who is going to join them? Well, I think the Western Bulldogs. You know, I still think that Tim English, you know, just got knocked around by that concussion last year. He wasn't played in the Royal this year. He wasn't played in the ruck as much as he could have. I just think the preseason of his life might put him in the picture to actually become the ruckman we thought he might have been 3 or 4 years ago. So I know it sounds boring, but I'm going to say Melbourne will be the Western Bulldogs yet again.
We do that, and it does sound boring, but I'm going to say exactly the same, Melbourne and Western Bulldogs. I reckon every year, Ralphie, I'd tip the Premier. I was going right there where Hawthorn were tipping, you know, winning three in a row and stuff like that. But you end up doing that for sure. Who's the big improver? It's Carlton for me. I think Carlton, it's all or nothing throwing into, they must play finals with, you know, with the list that they've actually got with the pressure on them as well. They must play finals, I think.
Yeah, look, the improver for me is North Melbourne. Like, I just love what that young nucleus of a midfield was able to do. I look at the forwards in Larky and Zerha, who both had great seasons. Zerha started slow. And then you lock in Charlie Combin, who just got a little taste of it. Callum Coleman-Jones, 4 years in, is ready to pop. We're going to see the mid-season draftee in Jacob Edwards. And so, look, that might not mean they win 12 games. They clearly aren't going to. But I just think by the end of the 2022 season, we're going to look at North Melbourne and say, oh, God, are they a chance to do something special in the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, it's interesting because we're fascinated by the draft coming up, and we'll be all over it on heraldsun.com on the draft. Jason Horne-Francis, you've done, you know, a couple of amazing stories on this exciting young talent. He'll obviously go number one. What sort of impact do you reckon he makes on 2022, as well as Dacos and Darcy? What sort of impact do you reckon they can make? Do you think that Horne-Francis, given that he's played a lot of footy this year, will clearly be above them in terms of a rising star scenario there next year?
Yeah, I think the most exciting thing is that, you know, we saw Matty Rowell and we just absolutely loved the way he played football. We saw Sam Walsh in his first year, you know, really hard running, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I just think this kid X Factor, we might as well, that might be his nickname. This kid, Jason Horne-Francis, has got X Factor. He's going to jump on ahead every now and then. He's going to balk blokes. He's going to blind turn guys. You know, he's going to have his, you know, he's going to average his 20 possessions and kick, let's call it 15 goals for the year. Yeah, because he's just so effortlessly able to play forward, they can slide him in at halfback. Now, again, he's going to have his terrible games, but I just think he's that kind of player who is just so accomplished and so capable of just playing that beautiful midfield forward split. I mean, you look at their midfield next year, you know, you think it's, you know, in the first bounce. Look, I hope it might be Tristan Zeri or it might be Callum Coleman-Jones, but it's probably Goldstein. It's probably Ben Cunnington. It's probably the best and fairest winner in Jai Simpkin. And then, you know, then there's the potential for so many of those players there, whether it's Taron Thomas, whether it's Horne-Francis, to be pushing in for that wing spot or for that fourth midfield spot or to play at half forward. I just think there's so many of those midfielders that can only play midfield. But the versatility is what's going to be the secret weapon. And he's just going to drag him in through the gates, this kid.
Yeah, it's so exciting. And fortunately, in 2022, we will be able to drag him through the gates. That's the beauty of it as well. Ralphie, if you've had a lazy $20 on a Brownlow medal bet, an early Brownlow medal bet, who would it be on for next year?
See, Walsh isn't going to be value, is he?
$7?
$7? What about if he can get his groins right? What about at real value, Elliot Yeo? I know that Matt Crouch has just had subsequent groin surgery, and so, look, you don't want to, you know, put too much pressure on a bloke who's coming off, you know, his own groin issues. But I just look at a bloke called Elliot Yeo, who's been high up in Brownlow medals, who's won best and fairest, has been all Australians. You know, if you're looking for a little speck, I just think that he's a bloke like that. Question without notice for me, look in your crystal ball, Macca.
Yep.
When will Mark Robinson and Nathan Buckley go from their first sort of stink eyes, resting bitch face, look at each other, to like an all-out sort of, you know, real scrap on Fox 40? What rounds?
Are you there, Nathan? Are you there, Nathan? I reckon that'll be early. That'll come nice and early as well. So, and as far as comeback stories, we talk about comeback. We had Peter Moody on the weekend with racing.
Yep.
One of the big comeback stories of 2022 will be Mark Robinson. Looking forward to him back on there. But that'll be nice and early. I reckon a Bucks Robbo sort of standoff will be interesting, won't it?
No, it'll be great. And look, you know, people say that when you have he's had heart surgery, he's been open about it.
Yes.
But they say it softens you, it changes you. Yeah. I thought maybe Robbo would be a bit more reserved. But when he did that fabulous Q&A with Sam Landsberger after his top 50, he just clipped a few. He didn't strafe them. He didn't drive by them. But he just clipped a few out there. And I thought to myself, oh, God love you. We're just so much looking forward to, well, I was going to say having a beer with Robbo, but, you know, welcoming him back into the Herald Sun office. And I thought to myself, no, the fire's still in the belly. We can't wait to have the chief footy writer back.
No, I think that'll be the case. I'm just going to have a little, can Dustin Martin win the Brownlow medal, Ralphie? $15. I'm looking for value for you. I'm just trying to, you know, a slim down Dustin Martin. Is that beyond all realms of possibility?
Well, once bitten, twice shy, Macca. I might have sort of, you know, when he just emerged midway through the season and I thought to myself, oh, man, he's got five more best and fairest in him. I may have had a wager there and then the kidney went and then, you know, that was good money after bad. So, yeah, $15 is clearly fantastic value. For all of his greatness, he's only won one Brownlow medal. Yeah, exactly. But a bloke called Nathan Fyfe, who's got, I think he's played... He played 20 games or more in three of the last seven seasons. And in two of those seasons, of course, he's won the Brownlow. So, look, he kicked 621 last year, this year. I keep saying that. If he gets his kicking boot on, you know, if that midfield is good enough that he can play a bit of midfield forward, he just polls votes like very few others in the comp. And just imagine the triple Brownlow medalist, Bobby Skilton. Imagine him being joined by triple Brownlow medalist, Nathan Fyfe.
That would be unbelievable when you look at it. There's a bit of value in the market as well. Lockie Neal, $13. So these past winners, Martin, $15. Fyfe, $15. Dangerfield, $18. And Tom Mitchell, $18. So there's a bit of value there. Ralphie, you've been an absolute star. Thanks again, and thanks for listening.